I'll be reading from John 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If this were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 1 through 6.
Everybody look at the screen. Who is that? That is a little Jesus. Now, he doesn't look so little there, does he? I actually took little Jesus' picture and I blew it up where you could see it. This is actually little Jesus right here. Okay? So I went from this to that. Thanks to a good camera on my phone, I guess that's what done that. Today I want to talk about little Jesus. Julie Harold gave me little Jesus a few weeks ago. We were having lunch with them on Sunday morning after service, and she gave me this little Jesus, and she said there was a man that was walking around whatever store she happened to be at. They were at the entrance to the store, and they were handing out these little Jesuses. And he would hand it to you and say, everybody needs a little Jesus. And her response was, and this was a wonderful response, no, we don't need a little Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus. Isn't that true? We need a lot of Jesus in our lives. Of course, this was a metaphoric attempt to get people to understand we need Jesus in our lives, which of course is true. But we don't need a little Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus. Now, whether you know it or not, or want to admit it or not, Jesus is the central figure of history in general. For example, we measure time on earth based on Jesus Christ. We learned B.C., which is before Christ, and we learned A.D., Anno Domini, which is in the year of our Lord. Now, some of our agnostic friends are trying to make some changes in that and change that definition around to leave Christ out of it. But you and I brought up knowing before Christ and in the year of our Lord, because time is measured by Jesus Christ. In fact, our calendars will measure the day that the world believes that he was actually born on, and our calendars relate that every year, and also his death and his resurrection are marked on our calendars every year. You know, the influence of Jesus Christ in history cannot be denied. When the whole world is basically based upon his existence through time and keeping up with time and history. But even though he is such a tremendous influence in the lives of so many people today do not know him. So many people today refuse to follow him. And the result of ignoring Christ has led to all kinds of chaos in this world today, and today leads to chaos in our world. In fact, right now, it is at a peak today. There is so much turmoil today because people are desperately looking for a lasting solution for multitudes of problems that is going on today with mankind in our world. And it is tearing us apart. And it is bringing wickedness into the forefront of everyone's lives that we have to deal with every day. And sometimes we can't help but ask ourselves, Is there really a solution to this? Is there really somewhere that we can look, that we can actually find the answer to the problems that we are living through today in our lives? And I firmly believe that the answer to that question is yes. Yes, there is a solution to all of these problems that we deal with, but it's not going to be found in the philosophies of men. It is not going to be found in their thinking and their understanding and their attempts to fix our problem. In fact, all it's going to do is divide us even further apart. The answer lies in Jesus Christ. The answer lies into the fact that we put a little Christ in our lives, right? Wrong. We put a lot of Christ in our lives. That is the answer to the problems of our lives today. So for our lesson this morning, I want us to look at some answers as to why we need a lot of Jesus in our lives today. First of all, what happened? Oh, I'm hitting the wrong button. That's what's happening. We need a lot of Jesus because Jesus reveals God to us. Now, in John chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly work, and he tells his apostles here, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, while Jesus was on earth and while he was doing his work, he did not avoid discussing his divinity with anyone. He would tell people that he is indeed the Son of God, and he gave plenty of proof to prove that he was the Son of God. And because Jesus came down to this earth, we have a much better understanding of God because the Son came here, and we know how much God cares for us because he sent his Son here. The Hebrew writer declares this. I'm going to quit hitting that button in a minute. The Hebrew writer declares this in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He says, "God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Who did this? God. He sent his Son in his image for us to see, for us to know, for us to understand, and for us to pattern our lives after. And that alone should tell us that we need Jesus in our lives because God sent him here as a perfect example, as a perfect pattern of life for us to follow. We need a lot of Jesus because he came to this earth. We need a lot of Jesus today because we are all sinners. You know, if you ask people what our biggest problem is right now in life, you're going to get all sorts of answers. We have all kind of problems here in life, don't we? Many would express, immorality. We have so much immorality in the world today, and we do. We have a tremendous amount of immorality. We have unrestrained violence all around us. We can go anywhere in this town and find it, and pretty much anywhere on earth and find an amazing amount of violence. Corruption within our leadership is a tremendous problem that we deal with here in America, and we're supposed to have our act together, aren't we? But we don't. Our leadership has tremendous problems. But of course, the biggest problem is sin, because sin is at the root of all of the problems of life. And why? Because men are in charge of these things. And Paul has already said it. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we need God. We need forgiveness from God, and we need to reconcile ourselves to Him in life. Basically, we need salvation. We need redemption. We need the forgiveness of sin. Because Paul also tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. His purpose for coming, folks, was to give you and me life. He came to give us enjoyment of life. He came to give us a reason to rejoice in life. And He came to give us even a better life when this life is over. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in Him we have that redemption. In Him we have that forgiveness of sins. Oh yeah, we need a lot of Jesus, because He gives us that redemption. He gives us that forgiveness of sin. And He is the only one who can remove sin from us. We need a lot of Jesus today because Jesus is the truth. You know, one of the greatest challenges in our society today is to define truth. And you know, I thought that all encyclopedias would be the same, but you can go to the Webster's Encyclopedia, you can go to the Britannica, you can go to the Encarta, you can go to different dictionaries, and they're going to give you a different definition of truth. Why? Because society today has made truth subjective. And we question truth because people look at truth as something different. And they say, well, truth is open to your interpretation of it. Truth is what you think truth is. Truth isn't constant anymore. But when you have this belief in truth, the reality is it is going to lead to absolutely nothing but chaos in life. When everyone does what he thinks is right, when everyone looks at truth in their own way, there is bound to be nothing but confusion involved. The only answer is found in absolute truth. Now, you know as well as I do, very few things are absolute anymore. Now, we know that the sun absolutely rises in the east and absolutely sets in the west. And the reason for that is man can't do anything to change that. That is always going to be, right? Right. So it has to be absolute. God set it up that way. That makes it absolute. We need to understand that there is such a thing as absolute truth. Something that does not change. Something that does not over time and circumstance vary from one thing to another. You know, several years ago when I was in school, we learned that there were 9 planets in the solar system. How many are there now? 8. They dropped Pluto. You know what? Pluto is still there. He is just as he was when they first found him. They just won't call him a planet anymore. But that's man's thinking, okay? Some of you young folks don't even know what Pluto is. Now, those who are my age, we think of Pluto in a Popeye commercial, right? Yeah, Popeye cartoon. Pluto was a planet when I was a child, and it doesn't exist anymore. Most people don't even know about it anymore. But that doesn't change the fact he's still up there, right where he's always been. He is absolute. Man's definition of it is no longer absolute. The fact is, folks, truth is always truth, and it never changes. Jesus came to reveal the truth of the Father. And he announced in John 14, verse 6, which was part of our text, I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. And then he went on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, folks, that is absolute truth. And no one can change that Oh, we may lie about it, and we may tell people that this isn't really what it means, but that doesn't change what it really is. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, another truth. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there is a reason for that. Because only truth will save you. Now, let me rephrase that in a better way. Only God's truth will save you. Joel Osteen's truth will not. Billy Graham's truth will not. Any of these other televangelists that you watch on TV every day will not. Paul himself said it, if I or an angel from heaven give you anything other than what God has given to you, let him be accursed. Because what God has given you is truth. And we need that truth. Jesus also tells us something else. John chapter 8 verse 32. That if you abide in him, you will know what? The truth. And the truth will what? It will make you free. So there is a benefit from knowing this truth that has come from God. That it will be truthful. It will be right. And you know it's going to be right. And it will set you free. Free from what? Free from sin. God's truth will do that. Man's truth will not. You see, in Jesus we find real truth. We find a verified truth. You know, the Word of God has been scrutinized and it has been attacked over and over again since the first pages of inspiration were written. But you know, God's truth has withstood all things that man has thrown at it. And it remains as relevant today as it was when it was written some 2,000 plus years ago. Now let me share something with you. Literary scholars do not like this statistic. But the fact is, the Word of God, the Bible, is the best-selling book in the history of the world. It has been estimated that since the first printing of the Bible, which took place in the year 1454 by Johannes Gutenberg, between 5 and 7 billion copies of the Bible have been printed and distributed throughout the globe. Now, that is not including the millions of Bibles that were written by hand before the printing press was invented. The Bible is indeed the most widely distributed and read book in the history of mankind. Nothing else is even close to it. The Bible has an enduring popularity, and it has contributed timeless relevance and universal influence that has shaped the lives of countless billions of people who have lived on this earth. Let me tell you something, folks. That's a lot of Jesus. And we need that. We need His Word. And probably the 5 to 7 billion copies of the Bible that were sold and read is insignificant when compared to the people who has not read it and has not listened to it, and has not obeyed it. God's Word can influence a lot of people. And we need that. We need a lot of Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus because Jesus is the best example for us to follow in life. You know, Jesus left heaven and came to this earth for the purpose of being an example for us. In fact, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, you know, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. We know that, don't we? Somebody at the cross knew that because they put it on his cross. Jesus didn't come down here to be king. He didn't come down here to rule over the world, to have people do everything for him so he wouldn't have to do it himself. He didn't come down here to be pampered and to live a life of luxury. He came to show the common man. He came to show every man what true righteousness was and how to live it. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, that he gives our lives direction. Even in times that are difficult, he still leads us and gives us direction. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And you and I both know that if we would follow the pattern of this man, our world would be a better place in which to live. And only Jesus could have done that. And only Jesus did that. And we need a lot of that today. And then finally, we need a lot of Jesus because Jesus understands. Jesus, the Son of God, part of a Godhead. He left heaven, he came to earth, and he lived here for about 33 years. During this time, he knew what was in a man because he was a man and he had dwelt among men and lived with them. At age 12, Jesus understood that he had a special purpose to fulfill. Now, he didn't begin to fulfill that purpose until many years later, but he understood his reason for coming. Now, when I was 12 years old, my purpose in life was to sit in my school chair and wait for that 3 o'clock bell to ring. And then I raced home where I could play outside or go inside and watch Gilligan's Island. That was my purpose at age 12. Because I was too young to develop a purpose in life. But now by the time I was 33, I had finished my education. I was well established in my career. I was married. I had 2 children. I had a house mortgage and a car payment. But I understood a little more about life at 33 than I did at 12. But I didn't still understand life near the way Jesus Christ did when he was here. Jesus was God on earth. Jesus was the creator of everything that we have, everything that we are, and everything that we will become. He understood what it was like to be human. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He had to learn about us before he could lead us. He had to understand firsthand what we go through before he could carry us through. And that's exactly what he did. And because of that, because he became like us, he can sympathize with our weaknesses, being tempted in all points as we are. And yet he did it without sin. And because he did what he did, we can come boldly to him before the throne of his grace. And as Peter says, we can rest all of our cares upon him because he cares. He was here. He did it. He knows. And he cares. No one else could have done this. No one else could have even begun to do this. No one else can be our mediator to God. It had to be Christ. No one else could walk that walk. No one else could talk that talk. It had to be Christ. And here it is, folks. We all need Jesus. And it's not a little Jesus. We need a lot of Jesus in our lives. So this morning, as you're sitting here and you're thinking about some of the things that I have said, and you're thinking about just how important this man was to you and to me in our lives, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you ready to put a little Jesus? Because some of you don't have any Jesus. I guess a little Jesus is better than none. Are you ready to put Jesus into your life? Are you ready to acknowledge him? Are you ready to understand him? Are you ready to accept him? If so, then you may be ready to put him on today in baptism, learning to love, learning to live, learning to allow him to lead. Make him your King of Kings. And love him a lot. Serve him a lot. Live for him a lot. And Christian, I don't have to tell you that your life is better today because you are a Christian. You should already know that. But what I may need to tell you is that you have let something come between you and your Jesus that has caused you to walk away from him and to walk away from your Lord. And if that has happened in your life, you need to turn around and you need to come back to him and give him your life once again. Someone after this lesson comes up to you and says, "Do you need a little Jesus?" No. You don't need a little Jesus. You need a lot of Jesus. My friends, put a lot of Jesus in your life today. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we sing this song.